Well, it's been quite a weekend, and lots of interesting things happened. We'll talk a little bit about some of those in a minute. That whole idea of why is St. Michael's Church here? What are we here to do? Would it make any difference if we weren't here? And our vision is that each one of us, but also we collectively as a church, that we grow in faith, that we learn to live out God's purposes for us. And maybe for some of us, that means discovering what God's purpose is for you in your life and for all of us collectively, that we might make Christ known in the whole world, starting here in Canmore, but everywhere, and that we raise up the next generation to love and serve the Lord. That's why we're here. That's our call. That's our vision, to grow in faith. You need to grow in faith. All of us need to grow in faith. That needs to be a part of what we do. Sometimes we think, well, I was baptized, I'm done. But really, actually, it happens all through your life. This is lifelong learning. And Jesus often spoke to his disciples and told them that they needed to grow in faith. For example, one day, the disciples came to Jesus privately and they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that demon when we prayed? And Jesus said to them, you don't have enough faith, and I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And we live right here in the midst of a whole bunch of mountains, and it's a challenge to us to allow ourselves to trust more and more in God, to more and more try to live out what he's called us to do, to allow our faith to grow. Each one of us needs to be doing that, and we need to be doing that as a church. And it's not, I'm not trying to say we don't do that, but it's that continually trying to grow in faith. Don't ever stop and think, I think I've learned all of those lessons that I can learn, because with us and God, there's always more for us to learn. And then our vision is that we live out God's purposes for us. And God's purposes are that we worship God. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke a lot about this, about worshiping God. God commands us to worship him. And it's one of our purposes and our joy. You know, it really is a joy to come before God and worship God. Also core to who we are is that we recognize that we're lifelong students of God, that we're also a part of the great discipleship school that God calls us to every day. You might just think you're getting up, but actually you're getting up as part of going to school. And by getting up and getting ready for this school, it's a joy and a privilege and an honor to be in Jesus' college and to be his disciples. And we're called to learn from the greatest teacher ever. And then today we're discovering what fellowship is all about. Fellowship with God and with others. Fellowship, that's one of the purposes of your life, is to live in fellowship. And all of our readings talk about that. Ones that we had this morning, if I can find them. For instance, in that reading about Abraham, God calls Abram into this covenant. This is my covenant with you, that you will be a father of many nations. And the idea being a father and being a family, that's what fellowship is all about. Living in a relationship that's really close, that's close enough that you're family with one another. And then our reading from Acts, this is the first sign of really being in fellowship between the original apostles and disciples. They ate together and they prayed together, and everybody was amazed at what God was doing. Maybe partly that they were all getting along. And all of the believers were together and they shared everything they had. They really saw one another as brothers and sisters, like real relations with one another. And their hearts were glad. They were sincere about what they were doing. And they all praised God. There's another one of those things that we're here to do, is to be praising and worshiping God. And then the reading of Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he gives us this picture of him as the vine and that you are a branch. Now that's an intimate relationship, and that's what That's what fellowship is like. So yesterday, there was a wedding here at the church, 3 o'clock, and I was privileged to perform the marriage service for Nigel and Eilish. And when Nigel was standing up here at the front to say his vows, he couldn't say them. He was so full of joy and just in awe of this moment and the feeling of love in the room. And it's not that he didn't want to say them, but he was just really choked up. And eventually he said all of his vows, and it was great. And I remember when I was getting married, I was exactly like that. I could just see myself in Nigel, because I was the same way. Like, I was just so in love with Carol. And I had to whisper my vows because I couldn't talk out loud. And I was it was just the most wonderful time. So after the wedding, I was talking with Nigel's father, and I said how cool that was that Nigel had sort of not been able to say his vows, and he said he was exactly the same way. And it's that's fellowship. Like, just being just so much in that moment and so much in love and so much looking at God and knowing how amazing God is. And Nigel was looking at his bride, Eilish, and thinking, I am the luckiest man in the world. She is so wonderful. And that's what fellowship is like for us. Fellowship with God. That we stand in God's presence and we just think, I am the luckiest person in the universe. That's the heart of fellowship and our relationship with God and those who are part of God's family. And you and I are called daily to respond to God with all your heart, with all that you are. So what about Nigel? If Nigel wakes up and only says, I love you to Eilish on Sunday morning at 10:30, maybe for an hour, and then ignores her for the rest of the week, do you think that's fellowship? Do you think that's what marriage is about? Relationship is about? No, it's every day. It's every day. And it's making that decision to love. And Jesus painted an amazing picture of what it's like to be in fellowship, and the picture of that vine growing in beautiful, rich soil, and Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches, and you've been grafted into the vine. And if you remain grafted into the vine, you'll bear a lot of fruit. It'll be like, think of it like a life worth living, a rich life, because you remain grafted into the branch. And Jesus says further, when you bear a lot of fruit, it brings glory to my Father in heaven. And it shows that you are my disciples. See, last week we talked about discipleship and what that meant. And a disciple is a lifelong learner. And day by day you learn more and more about God, and it's amazing. But it's an active thing. And as you bear fruit, as you are in this relationship, this close, intense relationship with God, you will bear a lot of fruit. And that's an example of to the world about that you are truly a disciple of God. Disciples of Jesus live in a very intimate relationship with one another and with him. And the name for that is fellowship. And Paul wrote this, he said, I'm writing these instructions, he's writing this letter to Timothy. This is from his first letter to Timothy. I'm writing these instructions to you so that if I have to put off my visit, you will know how people should act in God's family. God's family. Family is another word for fellowship, really. The family of God is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and foundation of the truth. There is no doubt that true godliness comes from this great mystery. Those are Paul's words. And this word family and the word church belong together. Koinonia, do you know that word at all? It's about relationship. And that's the word that was actually used for the first churches. Koinonia was what they called their church. But get this idea. The church isn't this building that we love so much. The church is you. Yeah, right, people. And it's the people living in this thing called fellowship. It's about a relationship. Now, you can have a relationship where you do see people just once a week, but it's about more than that, really. It's about building deep and lasting and close relationships. A lot of people say to me, I believe in God, and I think I'm a Christian, but that church thing, I don't go to church. Well, first of all, like we just said, the church isn't the place that you go. A church is living in this family relationship. It's more than this building. It's more than a service. It's more than a corporate hierarchy. It's this family that you belong to, that you've been adopted into. That's what the church is. It is a family. It's a family. And there are different levels of fellowship. So first of all, there's just choosing to belong to the fellowship. The beginning of fellowship is a choice that you make. You choose to belong to a particular church. Sometimes people come in here and we have a little chat after they've been to their first service here, and they say, well, you know, we're really just sort of shopping around. They're shopping around. So sooner or later, maybe they'll make a decision about which is going to be their family. But at first, and I don't blame them, they're looking around thinking, like, do I fit here? Do I feel like I'm welcomed here? Is this the place where I can feel like I'm learning from God? Where I feel like I'm in fellowship with people around me? Ephesians chapter 2 says, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. See, it's about belonging. It's about being together. You can't be a part of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and just live a life totally independent of all other Christians. You need relationship. You don't have to come to the Anglican Church or the United Church or the Roman Catholic Church. Somehow, though, you have to come to a group of believers and be a part of that whole process of relationship. Some people say to me, I believe in God and I pray, but I don't want to be a part of the church. But God wants you to be a part and wants them to be a part of the family of God. And Paul writes to the early Roman church, he says, in Christ, we who are many from one body form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Like in a marriage, like Nigel and Eilish, they belong to each other. We say that in the marriage ceremony. And this is like that, being a part of a family. We belong to one another. We belong to one another. We have responsibility. We have to demonstrate our love for one another and for God. And if you don't get together with other members of the church or God's family, it's as though one of the vital organs in this body has been cut off. You don't want that. How would you feel if your arm suddenly disappeared? But you need to be a part of that body because each one of us is necessary. And another level of this idea of fellowship is friendship, that we learn to share and to care. Families are the building blocks of our society, and they're a primary place for us. Being a part of the family of God is the most basic, most formative building block of fellowship. So that's how fellowship grows, as we come together and we learn to share. And it's supposed to be a place where you learn to live like God has called us to live. Here's another little bit from Luke's letter to the folks when he wrote Acts. All of the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. And we read something about that, didn't we? This morning from our reading from Acts, about how the disciples shared everything they had, even shared their homes. That's a scary proposition, isn't it? But we're called to really share with one another. I remember Charles Alexander, who's an Anglican minister, telling me one time a story about how a person in his congregation had come to him and they, for no fault of their own, were going to lose their house. And he gave them some money. Like, some money. And it changed both of their lives. But it's a part of what it means to be in fellowship. We're to meet constantly. and to learn to share with one another. We share our homes. 1 Peter 4:9 says, open your homes to each other. Why does God say that? Why are we to share our homes? Because you can't fellowship in a crowd. So like, it's hard to have fellowship in a big, big bunch of people. Fellowship really grows and happens more in an intimate relationship. And some of you are in groups that are home groups. They're not just Bible studies, but there are times when we can get together and we can really get to know one another, where we can share what's really going on in our lives. We can pray with one another and support one another. That's a big part of how fellowship works. Did you know that the first 300 years of Christian faith, there were no churches? There were no churches. Well, not like this. Everybody met in other people's homes. They met together in homes, and that's what our house groups, we hope, will grow into being. This place where you can go and where you can be with family and where we learn to share our problems. Galatians 6 says, share your troubles and your problems with one another. And it's in this small group setting that you're able to do that. So the first level of discipleship is membership, choosing to belong. The second level of discipleship is learning to share our lives and our things with one another. And the third is partnership, like that I have a responsibility to everybody. We're partners working together for God. It's not just a bunch of people who say hello on Sunday morning, but we're family and we're the sanctuary from the storms of life. And they happen at the most unexpected times, don't they? Those storms. And where are you going to turn? Who can you talk to when things all go wrong? And that's part of what this intimate fellowship relationship is supposed to be like. And then loving believers like family. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. That's from Paul's letter to the Romans. And here's another quote from 1 John. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. How do you know if you're part of God's family? 1 John 4 says this. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have never seen. And this quote. But if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to eternal life. That's the proof. The greatest privilege you'll ever be offered is a life of privilege of being a part of God's family. God's family is a laboratory for learning to love and to live life well. Some of you may have grown up in homes where you didn't feel a lot of love. And sometimes that makes it hard for us to learn how to love. But all of us can learn this, and especially if we're in a setting where you really do feel God's love. The church, or family of God, or fellowship group, is where you learn to really love people. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Of those different levels, where do you think you're at right now? And of those different levels, what's the church offering to help you find fellowship, real fellowship in your life? All of us need to learn how to love. All of us need to learn how to share. All of us need to learn how to be responsible members of the family. And you need to share everything, your heart and all that you have. You need to find a way to be in partnership with others who can support you and help you, and how you can support and uphold them too, and find a place to give back and to make a contribution. God expects each one of us to be a part of this family and to grow in that faith and to grow in those relationships. Everybody is created by God. And God is calling everybody to belong and to live in fellowship and come and discover the joy that there is in this relationship. And God is inviting you too. God is inviting every one of us. If you're not a member of the family, like if you don't feel that you are, you can change that today if you want. Just you can ask God to be a part of the family. And I have it on good authority that he doesn't turn people down. That he wants you to be a part of that family, that he loves you.